And then we know that there's this vagus nerve, a nerve that goes from the stomach up to the brain. So the more stress we have, that causes the weak digestion. So even though digestion causes the physical conditions, stress causes the poor digestion. And what I found is most stress is caused by either a lack of life purpose or a lack of self-worth.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here today, Friday evening, 7 p.m., every Friday evening, 7 p.m., to bring you fascinating people that I meet on my journey as I'm thriving with an autoimmune disease. Now, I know people say, what is this thriving, Sharon? We are not survivors here. We are thrivers. That's the way we do it here. And yes, I know I'm not being, maybe silly. I understand that people are going to wag their finger at you and tell you you're never healed or whatever. Doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm thriving and living the absolute best life possible, that's all that matters to me, which I am. And I just enjoy the show because I meet the most fascinating people on this journey here. And, you know, interestingly enough, I know this sounds odd. Some people are going to kind of look a little sideways when I say this, but I know this part of my journey wouldn't have happened without the diagnosis. So it's one way to look at it. Oh, and by the way, I have a great tea here today. It's a wonderful tea. It's a mango green tea. You know, it's a little sweet. I love the smell of it, but I have to be honest, when I started drinking, I went, wow, this is a little sweet. Still good, but I have to be honest, not one of my favorites, but I love smelling it. So that's the good part of it. And today we have a fantastic guest. His name is Swami Tirtha, and he's also known as the Orange Cowboy. So I wore orange in his honor. And he is a best-selling author who has presented to the White House Commission on Alternative Medicine. His speaking clients include top medical universities, including Johns Hopkins, and he has more than 4 decades teaching wellness and consciousness. Swami is the joy expert. I just love that. I've got a story about joy to tell him. And helping individuals and groups develop their joy, which improves their personal and professional lives. People who work with Swami say that their emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual health is so much better. And I have to agree, because he just makes us smile just having him in our, I'll say, in our airspace here. And how he helps is a monk as a natural-born shaman, healer, and psychic medium and channel. His mission is to bring world peace through each individual finding joy in their heart and peace in their mind. To get his word out to the masses, his first screenplay is being made into a Hollywood movie, a comedy about listening to your heart and trusting to be yourself around others. And we're also going to talk about his latest book, which is 21 Days of Joy. So welcome, Swami. So thrilled to have you here.
Joy, 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 Sharon.
So tell us a little bit. Okay, I have a great story about joy, but when did you first find out that was your mission? Because to me, sometimes people will say, joy is so fleeting.
Joy, well, that's a good question. There's different types. There's 2 types of joy. There's inner joy, and there's joy that you find within your heart and joy based on an external situation. So if it's sunny out, I'm joyful. If it's raining out, maybe I'm not joyful. That's a fleeting joy. But if you have a joy of life purpose, a joy that you're helping other people, sun or rain, you're still some degree of joy. I mean, there's fluctuations in joy. You're not shouting from the rooftops if it's raining out. You go inside, you know. But it's not based on external. I'm happy if you like me. I'm not happy if you don't like me. That kind of a thing. I'm happy if I have money. I'm not happy if I don't have money. It's because if you really look at it, Sharon, in my experience, I could look at times when I didn't have a lot of money or people didn't like me. And I still, it's not like I was 100% all the time not happy. There were times things were happy anyway, despite the outer circumstance.
Oh, I think that's so true. Absolutely. And I find that people who are thrivers with an autoimmune condition have that same ability, that same feeling as finding the joy in all things. My quick little story, years ago, I was going through a really tough patch in my life, and my friends know about me, just teach her something. So they took me to an event I'd never been to called a Dharma Dialogue, and it was so fascinating because one of the things he said, and honestly, I remember just these two words more than anything of the whole experience, other than it was a very nice experience, was he said, practice joy. He was talking about how we practice so many things in our life, but not the most important, and that was practice joy.
The way, I love that. The first thing I do in the morning is, even before I'm like half awake, my eyes aren't open, I put out my monitor, how am I? Am I joyful? I put on a smile because science says even if we force a smile, we create happy hormones in our brain.
Yes.
So it's more than a practice. It's turning on the machine. It's turning on the joy machine. It's like a cup of Java in the morning. You turn on your espresso joy machine.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, that brings up a question because one of the things I do every morning is have some gratitude. I start thinking about what I'm grateful for, what happened the day before, how I want this day to be. And how does gratitude complement or differ from joy?
I think they're so close. It's really, I do both in the morning. I do both in the evening. I do both whenever I remember. Gratitude to me is sort of the foundation. It's hard to think about having joy just if you not have a gratitude, you know, what's there to be, you know, it's too much of a stretch for my brain to think, why will I be joyful? Because this is no good, this is no good, this is no good. But if I start with, look at all the things I'm grateful for, that actually gives me the joy. And then once I feel the joy, if I want to amp it up, I just do more things for joy.
Fantastic. Now, I'm a huge fan of gratitude. I just find that can, similar to a smile, waking up with a smile, a gratitude, even just sometimes, to be honest, at the height of the disease, I was just grateful for waking up in the morning and breathing. So it doesn't have to be, in my mind, great big things. What are some things when people are going, but Swami, I don't have anything? What are some things that you can help people when they're just sort of down in that hole?
Well, that's more, Sharon, I feel an emotion talking than the reality. And the irony, somebody actually pointed this out to me recently. When I started my life, I had a lot of not joy. And ironically, to come to a place where I'm the joy expert is like, well, I can back up why. I have some pretty good background to show you if I can get through this, you can get through this. And specifically, when I was about 17, I lost my parents in a car accident. And it's pretty hard to have joy in that moment. And I really didn't. But I would go out. I remember I would be mowing the lawn once a week. And for some strange reason, I found myself, this was years, decades before people talked about gratitude. I just thought, well, you know, these are all the good things that my parents saw in their life before they passed. They saw me graduate high school. They saw my brother get his bar mitzvah. And there was no big events for them in the near future. So they really hit their high points. So I don't know why. I didn't tell myself to do it. It just happened naturally. And then slowly that got me, because I had mystical experiences as a child. I had dreams telling me my parents and I were going to be separated. It wasn't pleasant either,
You know?
So when you talk about, you know, you go through that and somehow you wind up on the journey where joy is the only thing that saves me and makes me thrive. You talked about thriving before. So for those who say, they don't have anything, you just take a breath, look around.
I think that's important. A lot of times we stop breathing. When we get down in that hole, I won't say stop because that would make you turn blue and pass out, but we tend to breathe too high and rapid when we get into those places of where everything seems really dark. So I love that you mentioned breathe. You have a wonderful meditation. Can you take just a couple of minutes here and guide us through a meditation about how, well, I'll say the breathing one, how we can relax and maybe let go is not the right word, but just can you take a couple of minutes and just guide us through so we can refocus?
Sure. So this is something that I've come up with over the years of what I call instant meditation. And it takes as long as 20 seconds. And all of you can just think about something that's troubling you. Excuse me. Maybe it's a block. Maybe it's a personal situation or a family situation, a career situation, something going on with your house, your kids, whatever's the issue, biggest issue for you. Just think about it and rate it from 1 to 10. So 10 would be, oh, it's unbearable. And 1 is, it's manageable. And when you have that rating, and now I'd like you to just take your hand, place it on your heart.
Okay.
And now think about something you love more than anything else. It could be your spouse. It could be your child. It could be a sonata. It could be the beach. But just feel that in your heart. Feel how much love there is there. And take a nice deep breath in. And that just expands our heart with love. And that's it. And now, we'll just do it once through. Now, think about the problem and rate it again. Think about the challenge. Rate it again.
Oh, wow.
Is it as high as before?
In fact, I'm trying to remember it.
That's less than 20.
Absolutely. I love that. My gosh, that you could do anywhere. You absolutely could do anywhere, anytime.
You could do that at work. If you're the boss or you're talking to your boss, nobody notices you're just putting your hand on your heart and just nod your head and think about, you know, if you're in a happy place, nobody's going to get a bad vibe off of you. So you think about your kid and you, you're going to make the other people feel better.
I love that. And you are, because in my work with body work, I always say that how we show up is contagious. And so oftentimes people say, somebody's being difficult. And I say, well, reflect back. How did you show up? And was that contagious? Is that true? Because sometimes we sort of brought this trail of whatever with us and it contaminated the scene.
Always. I just, the other day, I'm trying to think what it was. And I'm thinking, boy, this is really frustrating. These people. And I hardly ever do that, but this seemed like really they did it. And sure enough, it was me who brought the thing to the party. So I said, oh, it's still going on. No complaints. You know, when you point a finger and blame, you have three fingers pointing back at you.
Yes, I have. And it's so true. It's so true. I found it often in my work. The people that complain the most are the ones sort of dragging it around with them. So. And how our energy can do that. That's just always surprising to me. Now, you mentioned something about your childhood that you realized very early on that maybe certain things were happening to you that perhaps you weren't seeing in other people. How did you, I'll say, deal with that? Or did someone encourage you to actually explore these gifts and bring them out to the world?
Actually, unfortunately, no. Well, I couldn't really talk about the dreams of my parents being separated from me. That I don't know why. It was like too weird for me to bring up. It just didn't fit into life. But there were times where I would, you remember the game Password?
Yeah.
I don't know, there's a show in the 60s. And there was a game, home game version. And I was playing with my mother, and it's a little card with a color gel so nobody can see what the word is, what the password is, except the person who's looking with glasses or something. So my mother says, fruit. And I have to come up with a fruit. And I saw a plum in my head. And I go, plum. And she goes, "You're cheating." And I go, "I don't know. I just saw this." So when my intuition and my psychic gifts did come up in the world, it freaked people out. So I didn't get the support that some people do get.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Swami about how he actually did bring it out into the world for us to enjoy with his joy. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And we're here tonight with Swami Tirtha, also known as the Orange Cowboy, and he is a number one best-selling author of 21 Days of Joy is his latest book, and we're thrilled to have him here because I think living in joy is absolutely one of the critical things that keeps us healthy, keeps us thriving. That's why I always end the show, maybe you've noticed, I always end the show in joy. Now, a lot of times people think it's E-N-J-O-Y, that's fine, that works for me, but actually it's I-N. J-O-Y. So welcome, Swami. Thanks for being on the show. We've been sharing some of these interesting insights about show, but I'm curious about something else, and that's how you discovered your ability. Did you have mentors or other people that helped you? Because I find a lot of people who have autoimmune condition, which I know you don't, but I wanted you on the show because of your expertise, is I find a lot of them are highly sensitive people. And that oftentimes can be one of the ways that it manifests. So tell us, how did you uncover this ability and ways or people that helped you realize it's okay? Sure. It's fine.
Yeah, and let me just interject, a lot of people who are empathic in my work, I've found as my clients, they don't know how to keep a boundary between what others are feeling and what they're feeling, and they can get autoimmune diseases. So that actually, I found in a number of clients, that was the medicine, if you will, the cure was to create healthy boundaries and say, okay, I'm empathic. I honor that gift. I'm not crazy. And I'm going to have to say no emotionally. And now the burdens are off them because they're taking on everybody's burden.
Wow. We'll need to get to that. But first, I want to get to your story. And then let's check up on that boundaries because I find that's critically important too. So let's first find out, how did you...
You know, as a child, as I said, I'd get these dreams or I'd say, I turn a light on outside and my mother says, that's the guest light. Why are you turning that on? I said, we're having guests just to be a smart aleck. And then the guests came. And then she, but the thing is, I really didn't think they were gifts, Sharon, because all I was being told, my parents are going to be separated from me. And even in waking state one day, everything went blank and I started crying and I said, I don't want you to die. And they looked at me, and then within the year they did die.
Wow.
So I didn't think this was a gift, because what good? That's not a gift. You know, that's kind of cruel, I think, to tell people, oh, guess what? This is what's going to happen and you can't do anything about it. So I really kind of shut it down until, well, what it did do, the saving grace was when I did hear about my parents' death, I started to think, well, that's what all those dreams were about. And I think that's might have been what saved my life, because right off the bat, I started thinking, who is telling me this? How did I know this? And so I went right into the mystical. I started seeking out answers. And back in 1972, around there, when they passed, I started reading books on meditation. It was brand new in America back then. The Beatles just went to India, and that's about all we knew about meditation. And it was a very odd thing to do. You know, even today, it's just sort of becoming more accepted in the workplace. But back then, woo.
Yeah.
And so I started reading Carlos Castaneda and Be Here Now, Baba Ram Dass. And then I started to meditate. I took a course in meditation, and then I stuck with it. And I became a teacher of meditation. And I would meditate with a course 6 hours a day. For about 5 years, I did all sorts of things like that. And then later on, I got into Ayurvedic medicine, and I actually wrote, that's the number one bestseller. I wrote the Ayurveda Encyclopedia, which is all wonderful natural ways for, I have a whole section on autoimmune diseases in there. And then I was also offering clients of Vedic astrology, which is India. India came, the Ayurveda comes from India, Vedic astrology comes from India. And I would look at people's charts and I'd say, oh, your chart says this. But the reality, Sharon, was the chart didn't say it. I saw energy patterns over the chart.
Wow.
And I, for some reason, I just trusted it. And now that I started to be able to help people, I was seeing how I could use these gifts. Now they were gifts.
Wonderful.
So the longer answer to your question is, I started initially to, somehow I'm taught internally by the same people or beings or whatever that told me about my parents. I think they're just training me all along.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I find a lot of people that when they come up against a crisis or a trauma in their life, do have those turning points where they're all of a sudden finding their mission or something along those lines, something that really drives them to a different way than what the original trajectory might have been. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you did mention boundaries. I think boundaries are one of the most overlooked, similar to joy, overlooked areas where we can get ourselves into all sorts of entanglements, not just with our health, but I find that if we keep good, solid boundaries, even with those closest to us, our stress can really be reduced. So let's talk about boundaries and certain ways that people, especially highly sensitive people, can first know what a boundary is, because sometimes I find people go, boundaries, what's that? And then also some, they're just like all over there. Their energy is just all over everywhere. Not just their energy, but even their their physicalness, you know. Like,
it's like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Also, and then also I find a lot of times that those people that their energy is just everywhere also is their physicality. I mean, they're into everything, trying to help even when you don't need help. So let's talk about, first off, what's a boundary, and then some great ways that you give newbies to understand how to implement that.
Sure. Well, this, I could do another very quick meditation, a boundary meditation, if you like that.
Absolutely.
So everybody can just, you know, hope you're not driving. If you're driving, don't do this. If you're at home or anywhere, just sort of close your eyes and just put your arms out as far as you can and just sense.
Just straight out?
Yeah, out to your sides. And just sense sort of like an egg shape around you, an oval of some sort. And maybe it doesn't go as far out. Maybe the egg shape is just around your shoulders. Maybe it's further out than your arms, but just feel, notice some sort of sense around you. How are you doing with that, Sharon? You got that?
Yeah, I feel it. Not quite to my fingertips. I'd say about mid-palm I feel something.
Okay, beautiful.
So it's sort of like my fingertips are sort of peeking through.
Perfect. Excellent. Good job. And everybody, wherever you feel, that's the right answer. And now, do you feel it in front of you and in back of you, like a real full egg shape?
Yeah, and on top of me and below me.
Beautiful. Wonderful. This, we'll call this the boundary. Now, this boundary, let's see if we can even make it bigger. So think of something you love, someone you love, and take a nice deep breath. And just expand into your love and notice if your boundaries don't expand, if they expand further. And if they don't, that's okay. And if they do, that's great too.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Although it felt like it changed shape a little bit at the top and bottom too, not just where my arms are.
Terrific, terrific. So this is how you can strengthen and expand your boundaries. But for time's sake, let's just say this is your boundary. And you honor this boundary that you promise to anyone you meet, you will not step into other people's boundary because they're going to have a boundary like this. And you tell them, I will not let you step on because my foot is in the boundary. Even if it's a foot out, if you step in my space, you're stepping on me. You're stepping on my astral body, my emotional body. You may not be stepping on my real toe, but you're stepping on my emotional toe. So this is how we start to create some healthy boundaries. This is a way.
Wow, fascinating. Fascinating. Now, what happens if we do feel somebody's toe stepping in there? I mean, we don't want to just put up the hand, you know, talk to the hand kind of thing. That might be considered rude, although that may work.
It's funny because in some cases you can do that. And as one of my students said to me, I'm a nurse. I'm in the hospital every night. I can't not have people close to me. I have to help them. And so then it's an emotional, a metaphorical boundary. You know, if you're helping somebody who needs help and it's in the right emotion, that your people are there, you're the nurse, they're expecting your help, that's appropriate. But as you said, if somebody comes up and says, oh, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do this for you, there was no contract there to do that. There was no initial setup to agree to that. So in those cases, you say, please, you know, however you're going to say it, but first and foremost, get it right in your own experience. Say, okay, this is my boundary. And It takes a little work.
Well, sometimes I find it difficult with a disease, or I'd say any sort of trauma or grief, I would probably fit into this category, is oftentimes people who I find that intruded the most, they were doing it from love, although misguided. Their intention was, in my mind, sure, very loving, although it was very intrusive.
That's so accurate, I find also. And people who love us the most, you know, as they say, the people who hurt us the most are the ones who love us the most because we're so relaxed with them. And I feel we may have to sort of redefine those kinds of relationships. Because in every family, everybody's sort of given a role. You're the strong one. You're the funny one. You're the responsible one. And these could be roles passed on from generations, and it really limits and inhibits us. And if we want to break out, the family lovingly says, no, we need you to be this. And there's all sorts of guilt in that.
My goodness, I can see how you could be playing multiple roles. Well, we need to take another quick commercial break. When we get together, time just flies. We'll be back right after this message, and we'll explore some more about living in joy, understanding boundaries. I think this is all critically important to our health. Oftentimes, we don't need to talk about the actual physical health to understand how you heal. So we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Swami Tirtha, and he is also known as the Orange Cowboy. He's the number one best-selling author of the Ayurvedic Encyclopedia. And we've been sharing all sorts of things this so far all about joy and boundaries and things. But I want to be sure and have enough time to talk about Ayurveda and Ayurvedic Encyclopedia and that how it plays into our health. So first, define Ayurvedic and Ayurvedic medicine for people. Maybe we've heard the word, but don't really know what it is.
Sure. You know, it's like you go to the store and you say Ayurveda. You say, I'm not Ayurveda. I'm not Veda, are you? You know?
Exactly. Good joke.
Ayurveda comes from India, and it's made up of two words, Ayur and Veda. Veda means wisdom, and Ayur is life. So it's really a life science is really what it is, how to live healthy mind, body, and spirit, all naturally. And some of that, and the beautiful thing about it is that it says there's no one size fits all. It's like a tailor-made dress, that there are people who are more air-related, people are more fire-related, people are more water-related, so it's very much related to nature. And your illnesses are excesses of those elements. So dry skin is too much air. Hot temper is too much fire in your emotions. And water on the lungs is too much water. And you take the other elements to balance it. So if you have water on the lungs, you take hot spices, which dry up the water. If you have dry skin, you put some water, have more watery foods and herbs, and that moistens the dryness. And that's very much in a nutshell how health is seen in Ayurveda.
Wow. Absolutely. Sense? Now, as I understood it at first, what I thought you were saying was, I'll just say, you are one thing, like a label, like you are air. But it sounds like we're all four of those. It's just in how it's balanced throughout our system.
Yes, that's a good question. We're usually at least combinations of two, sometimes all three. And of course, everybody's going to be slightly different, but you'll have your predominant three types just so you understand where you fit. And then Ayurveda doesn't box you into a system. It's just a starting point. So a really skinny, frail person tends to be more air. And the opposite end, a very big bone person tends to be water. And your athletes tend to be fire. It's just a starting point.
Oh, my goodness. And so how is it determined? What do we do, or when we go to a practitioner such as yourself, how is it determined, besides just sort of looking at us, what categories we fit into and what, percentages might be the wrong word, but how is that determined?
Well, one thing is the practitioner would take a certain type of a pulse, different than what your doctor, medical doctor would do. Also, there's a wonderful dosha test. And if you pick up any Ayurveda book, most Ayurveda books, you'll find a test in there to figure out. It's called doshas, air, fire, and water. You'll see which you're most of. And then, so if you're mostly air, that means you tend towards more air. Then you'll take more food, fire, and water in your foods, in your lifestyle, in your colors and your things like that.
Now, do you,
and that'll bring balance.
Do you ever change? I mean, are you born this way and that's the way? Or do you ever, like certain periods of your life, do you change? Could it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's right on. It's exactly right. Children, you know, babies tend to get a lot of colds and congestion, and so they're more watery. And senior citizens, at least in the old days, tend to get more frail and broken bones, and they tend to get more air-related as they get older. But if you follow your Ayurvedic lifestyle, you can stay much more in your main constitution throughout your life.
Oh, wow. Now, let's just choose one. I don't care which one you choose, but let's just choose one. And what are some of the things that, about certain balancing things? So if we go to a practitioner and they tell us which one is the predominant one and things like that, when I've been under, I'll say just traditional medical care, it's like you get to a certain stage of wellness and then maybe they change things. In Ayurvedic, is it always the same, or does it tend to change as the healing and the body begins and the mental and emotional begins to change?
Yeah, let's assume for the moment that somebody with an autoimmune disease has autoimmune, usually low immunity is usually an air excess. However, if you overwork and burn out, that's a fire excess. And if you are so lethargic, you do nothing, no exercise, for whatever reason you can. So in other words, every illness can be caused by one of the elements, but let's just take air for the moment. So if you're an air person and because you have too much air, you get the autoimmune disease, then the therapies will continue. You'll use them all the time because even once the autoimmunity is in check, you're going to want to keep having more fire and water in your life so the air doesn't get excessed again, either to create more of the same or some other excess air condition. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That was my question, even though it was a very roundabout, confused question. So what are some other ways that I know, besides just taking specific things, what are some other things about the lifestyle in general that promotes quality health?
Ayurveda says the cause of most physical conditions is poor digestion. And so first off, you want to have spices to with your foods that are appropriate for your element that help your digestion. And then we know that there's this vagus nerve, a nerve that goes from the stomach up to the brain. So the more stress we have, that causes the weak digestion. So even though digestion causes the physical conditions, stress causes the poor digestion. And what I found is most stress is caused by either a lack of life purpose or a lack of self-worth. And so we get into the emotional and the spiritual counseling. So really the first medicine, if you will use that term medicine, is a sense of worth, a sense of positive image. Because if you have a positive image, you're telling the cells in your body, we're good, we're good, we're healthy, we're all right. You know, and Bruce Lipton, Dr. Lipton talks about this. Whatever you think, every cell in our body has receptors and listen to everything we think about, especially the subconscious stuff. So the way we help with the subconscious is aromatherapy, color therapy, mantras, music, anything that brings us joy. And here we are back to joy.
Fantastic. That's fascinating. We've had guests on who come from different disciplines, shall I use that word, who say the same thing. Everything about adverse childhood experiences to post-traumatic stress disorder to trauma, feelings of worthiness and things like that can and often do manifest as a physical symptom in the body. Does Ayurvedic medicine speak to specific symptoms, or is it a generalized looking at your dosha and then treating it from the higher level, or does it speak to very specific symptoms as well?
Yeah, in fact, it absolutely speaks to symptoms, and more remarkably is it will look at a condition, and we could just stay with autoimmunity. And instead of just saying, like Western medicine might say, this is what we do for autoimmunity, it'll have these symptoms. If you have these symptoms, you know it's caused by air. if you have excess air. If you have these symptoms, it's caused by excess fire. And if you have these symptoms, it's caused by excess water. So again, it's like a tailored made, it's like a mystical insight into different ways that each disease can be caused. It's remarkable.
That's fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. And as someone goes through the healing process, what are some, I'll just say, common things that we can do? I know you mentioned digestion. Are there certain things that maybe we don't have, we don't know exactly what it is, but is there an overall way with Ayurvedic that says these are the, you know, the best practices for digestion and the best practices for a health?
Well, a few things. First would be eat according to your stomach size. And the best way, maybe you've heard that our body is mathematically in tune with the universe. So for example, the Fibonacci sequence, mm-hmm. 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 1 is 3, 2 and 3 is 5. Well, are the digits from here to here to here to here to here to here, it's all the Fibonacci. I mean, they call it the thumbprint of God. Everything in the universe is created in this mathematical formula. So everything we do is related. Now I'm thinking, why did I bring up the Fibonacci? Oh, right, because they say you take a handful of grains, you take a handful of legumes, and two handfuls of vegetables, and that's the size that fits your stomach before you pre-cooked.
Really? Fascinating. I've never heard that before. So a handful, depending on you, it's a hand size, obviously. So you're equaling four handfuls is the size for your stomach.
Your hand size fits your stomach size.
Wow. I did not know that. That's so fascinating. Now, you said pre-cooked. This isn't like after it's all cooked down or whatever. It's pre-cooked.
Right. The rice is going to expand if you're using rice, perhaps. The grains expand a bit. And that way, that's just the right portion for you. And then if you're eating the foods according to your constitution, the body's actually going to feel better. It's going to feel, the whole body will feel sated after the meal, as opposed to if we just have like a protein bar that's going to sit in our stomach like a clunk, you know, like a clump. So this is another way of just the more universal, whatever you're eating, eat healthy foods, eat fresh fruits and vegetables, eat according to your size, eat in a pleasant frame of mind, have some music on, don't be thinking about work or arguing when you're eating, things like that.
I love that, eat in a pleasant frame of mind. That's critically important. I love to eat with friends. I'm not so sure I ever consciously think about my frame of mind, and also how many of us can raise our hand and say we eat in front of the television. Goodness sakes, what's that do to digestion then?
Yeah, if it's a heavy show, if it's a comedy, that might work.
Fascinating. Oh my gosh. What other tips can you share with us? I mean, I had no idea that that four handfuls were about the size of what we should be eating for our stomach, and a pleasant frame of mind when we eat. I find that a lot of people with autoimmune have food sensitivities, and as you mentioned, digestion seems to be one of the critical factors. Are there ways to explore food sensitivities with Ayurvedic medicine and understand if we can ever eat a certain thing again?
the thing is, so for example, you can eat a grain. Everybody can have a grain, but some grains, like barley, cause air. So the air person might not ever eat barley or rarely eat barley. The thing is not to be a rigid system, but to understand that the more you eat the foods like rice, which are more watery, the more the air person is going to feel better. But if you go out to dinner once in a while, or you just can't avoid it, you should be balanced enough that every once in a while you can have these things. This is actually aside from Ayurveda, but one thing they found is that gluten intolerance, it plays a huge role in all sorts of health conditions.
Absolutely.
And if you really want grain, if you want wheat, I should say, there is one wheat that it's an ancient grain that has gluten, but even gluten intolerant people can eat, and it's called einkorn, E-I-N-K-O-R-N, einkorn berry. If you go on Amazon, you could find it. And that way you could have, I love wheat. I can't stop wheat. And that's once I switched from organic wheat to Einkorn wheat, I noticed a difference even there. It's pure. It hasn't been genetically modified like all the other wheat.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited. That's the one thing I miss so much. I think my family does too, because one of the things I've, with the whole going gluten-free, is oftentimes like, nobody make toast while I'm here. You know? I mean, not allowed. It's like, the smell is too enticing. So I'm going to have to go and find that. And does it cook? Like, can you make muffins or things specific?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You could buy it. If you go to the health food store, they'll sell it either as a grain or as a flour. I buy I just get the grains and I have a grinder just to keep it fresh. But yeah, it's wheat. It's just wheat. And I make my wheat every fall. I make my whole wheat Einkorn brownies.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
A lot of joy. It's my stomach lots of joy.
Oh, this is joyful just here. I'm getting so excited hearing that maybe I can put some actual grain wheat products back into my diet. That sounds so exciting. I'll have to give it a try. And the interesting thing about it, at least my body, is I'll know fairly quick if it's going to work or if maybe things I need to give it a longer period of time of rest. That is so wonderful.
One other thing that people stop is sugar. Because white sugar is really harmful because there's no nutrition in it. But if you switch to a cane sugar, like honey or maple syrup or sucanat, which is just a product name for sugar cane naturally, dried sugar cane, there's so much nutrition in there that the air and the fire people actually need that vibration or that nutrition of sweet to help them in their health. So it's a law. You got to have sugar.
That's nice to hear too. Oh my gosh, this is so fantastic. That's nice to hear too. So tell us the names of, so you said honey, maple syrup, real maple syrup, guys. There's a lot of adulterated fake maple syrup out there. Same with the honey.
Raw honey, try to get local. Go to your local health food store, pick up local honey if you can, local raw honey. And sucanat, S-U-C-A-N-A-T. Again, in the bigger health food stores, you can get that. The Whole Foods and places like that.
Oh my goodness, how exciting is that? That's fantastic. I've been wandering off here. I go down too many rabbit holes with you, Swami. I need to take another quick commercial break. We'll be back right after this, and then Swami will tell us more about his work and how we can get a hold of him. So we'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. As well as I want to share a really cool new thing that we're doing over at lifeinterruptedradio.com. It's called the Transcribe Tribe. Now, we've done over 130, 140 episodes already. They're not all transcribed yet, but go over, sign up for the Autoimmune Hours Transcribe Tribe, and you'll be able to get transcriptions. And if you don't find one that you're looking for, just drop us a note there on the website and we'll be sure and get that one up in the top of the queue. So join us over at lifeinterruptedradio.com, Transcribe Tribe. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Swamitirthi, and he's also known as the Orange Cowboy. He's the best-selling author of the Ayurvedic Encyclopedia, as well as his newest book, 21 Days of Joy. So he is just all about helping individuals and groups develop in joy and improve their personal and professional lives. So, Swami, you know, we're just about out of time. Tell people more about your work and how it works and how they can learn more about you and all of this fabulous things that we've been learning today.
Sure. These days I work more with the energy and the mediumship, because the Ayurveda, there's enough people practicing it now that I get the downloads for the new age that's coming, the new age of joy, the new age of celebration, as the angels told me. And I asked Spirit, I said, how can I best help the masses? And they said, well, you know, film's pretty good, movies, TV. And so I wrote a comedy screenplay about a shaman, and it was approved. I met a Hollywood producer, and now she's on board, and I have a director on board. And now we want to do it independently, so we hold to the integrity of the story.
Fantastic.
And so now we're going to start looking for funding, investing to get that movie made. And that way, so many people, if assuming it's a good movie, so many people will see it and you get the message out. The Ayurveda Encyclopedia, there's 30,000 copies in print. So that did okay. And now I say, well, let's
shoot
bigger now. And you could read all, you could see all about me on my website, orangecowboy.com. Orangecowboy. And if you go, when you go there, right at the top of the page, just under the picture, you can get a free meditation that I created for you. It's a Tibetan bowl sound bath. And you just put in your name and email, and then I'll send you this MP3 that you can listen to, and it just soothes the sound. Anybody who's ever heard the sound baths before, they're just so, they wash away everything. It's just so enjoyable.
Well, I love the title. I've never heard of a sound bath, but I'm going to have to go over to orangecowboy.com and pick that up. Thank you. Sound bath, that just sounds so delicious, delectable. Yeah. Now, what's the name of the movie so we can be prepared and watch for it?
Well, we're just at the beginning. The working title, I called it Going Viral. And it's about a very left-brained person who's sure he's got the answers to the world. But when he puts stuff on YouTube, nobody watches it. He goes, why do they keep watching cat videos? Why don't they listen to me? And he meets a shaman, and the shaman says, you've ignored your emotions, and get ready because your life's going to turn upside down. And it's about him coming to terms with his heart, feeling his heart, listening to his heart, and becoming his authentic self in the world. So it's in.
Beautiful.
Laughter is the best medicine, and get an important but very simple message out. Be yourself and listen to your heart.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful way to end, Swami. Thank you so much for being on the Autoimmune Hour tonight. It's just been fabulous to have you here. And as always, everyone, go have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only.
What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.